This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. She has a ferocious work ethic, and she's an inspiration to fresh and seasoned journalists alike. That's what the New England Newspaper and Press Association says about reporter Candace Page, who was inducted into the New England Newspaper Hall of Fame last week. Candy spent 30-plus years at the Burlington Free Press. Since leaving the Freeps, she's worked as a reporter and editor at 7 Days. Even in retirement, she's not out of commission, except when she's getting quality time with her family in Portland, Oregon. And Candy Page, you join us now from a studio in Portland. It's nice to talk with you.
It's great to be here, Jane. I'm in the one place that's cloudier and rainier than Burlington, Vermont.
And congratulations. This is a really big achievement. What does it feel like to you to be inducted into the New England Newspaper Hall of Fame?
Oh, it's very embarrassing in a way because I feel as if the people who nominated me, all of them, are much better journalists than I was. What I have over them, I think, is I'm older.
Come on. See, you're too modest, Candy. I mean, we're going to talk about some of the highlights of your career, but, you know, 30 plus years in journalism in Vermont and really covering the waterfront of issues. You've covered politics, you've covered food, you've covered science and the environment. I mean, that is quite a career. You've seen a lot of Vermont and you have introduced and helped educate people on a variety of topics over your career. So it must feel gratifying to be recognized.
Yes, it is very nice for someone who spent most of her career at a 50,000 circulation newspaper to be recognized by the journalism community and by people I really respect. But I have been incredibly lucky in my life. I grew up in Vermont. I went away, worked elsewhere. But when I got married and was ready to start a family, I came back to Vermont. And once you do that, you have put a ceiling in a way, on your ambitions. And I have to say, for all its flaws, the Burlington Free Press treated me very well. I did everything from clean the refrigerator to act as managing editor in my 30 years there. And anytime I got bored, they let me do something else. So I feel very fortunate to have written all my life, written news that my friends and neighbors and family and the community that means so much to me gets to read what I write.
We're going to do the Vermont Edition version of Candy Page, This Is Your Life, except I promise we won't bring any random people who you're not expecting into this interview. But I would love to take you back and have you describe the first newsroom you worked in, you know, the people, the technology, what it was you were doing.
Well, this is really going to date me because the first newsroom I ever worked in was my parents' weekly newspaper, the Suburban List, in Essex Junction. And my first job there, as I was probably 12, was proofreading, which involved hot lead type that had been set in a huge machine and was laid out in banks. And because it was the reverse of what you would see in the newspaper, you had to be able to read upside down and backwards. But, you know, in the time that I worked as a reporter, almost everything changed about journalism. The speed at which we communicated changed dramatically. You know, when I started at the Free Press, if the governor said something at 9 o'clock in the morning, it would still be news, brand new to most of our readers when they picked up their newspaper at 6 o'clock the next morning. Now that's inconceivable. One of the things that I think is a huge change that we don't think about often enough was the proliferation of sources of news. And of course, in many ways, it's wonderful to have so many voices, so many places to find out what's going on. On the other hand, what we've given up is a common base of knowledge of our communities. I think when I started at the Free Press, the penetration of the paper, that is, the percentage of the population that got the Free Press and read the Free Press, was higher than 100%. Because some people got it at home and they got it at the office. So when the Burlington City Council did something, when the Jericho Select Board did something, everybody had that information. And I think that that is good for democracy. If you know what's going on in your community, and that comes to your doorstep every morning, it's very easy, much easier for you to get angry and get involved. To me, when we look at journalism in the context of the community and society, that's one of the biggest changes I've seen.
Candy, the flip side, though, to that benefit, which I agree with you on, is that, you know, if you have more sources, you have perhaps more diversity of opinion and analysis. And certainly right now we're seeing that that can be overwhelming, and it can be hard to differentiate what's an accurate source from propaganda, you know, what's fact, what's opinion. But you also still have the ability to have people reporting on things that might not get covered by a monolithic newspaper. Do you see, I mean, how do you, from your perspective, coming from this world where there was that density of one source to the new era, how do you balance that and see that balance?
Jane, I think it's absolutely critical to have as many organizations covering the news as possible. And I think we've seen how important that is. As the circulation of newspapers in Vermont has plummeted, newspapers like the Free Press and really every newspaper have had to reduce the number of reporters they have on staff. Where would we be now if we didn't have Vermont Digger and all the digging it did on the EB5 scandal? What would we do without 7 Days, you know, possibly one of the strongest alternative newspapers in the country? What would I do without the various blog posts that I read about what's going on in Vermont government? I think that's incredibly important. And I guess the answer is that the world changes, and it's good that for the loss that we've had of that commonality, we have had the benefit of the diversity of voices.
You have also had a diversity of beats. You've, as I said, covered politics, food, the environment, other things. Is there a consistency, though, in your style or approach?
I've always thought that what I wanted most as a reporter was for readers to read the first 4 or 5 paragraphs of my story on the front page and be willing to turn the page and keep reading. It's so easy to lose readers when that's required. So I think what I can say about my style that has been consistent is I've always tried to make my stories as lively as possible so that people would get to the jump and automatically turn the page to find out what was in the next paragraph. And I think the way I did it is by telling stories about people's lives, about featuring characters that can bring an issue alive. I once wrote the obituary of a black racer snake. And I wrote it the way you would write an obituary that appears on the obituary page. And it allowed me to communicate to readers in a way that I think was highly readable. I hope it was, that these snakes are seriously endangered in Vermont, and losing this one snake was a threat to its whole species. The first political campaign I ever covered, I didn't have any idea what I was doing. And Peanut Kennedy, who was a Republican candidate for governor, invited me to ride along with him on a campaign day. So I sat in the back seat and listened to him argue with his wife. And I got to write a story that started with this squabble that was revealing of his personality and the security of his marriage, of course, but that I think and hope turned him into a person people would want to turn the page to learn more about.
Is there a story that you still want to take a crack at?
Well, I think possibly the most interesting story I ever reported and wrote never saw the light of day. And if I could go back to it, I think I would. In about 1974, 75, I spent 3 days riding around the Northeast Kingdom with an anti-poverty worker. And I saw people's lives and the poverty of people's lives that, as someone who lived in Chittenden County, I had no concept of. I will never forget the 80-year-old blind woman who lived alone in one room of a big house with only her radio for company and an outhouse in the backyard. You know, that's not the kind of thing that we think happens in Vermont. And if I could go back to seeing those invisible lives and writing about them, that would be very satisfying.
Why didn't that story see the light of day when you reported it?
Well, I was a brand new reporter, very naive. Brian Vachon was the brand new editor of Vermont Life at the time, and he was also very naive about Vermont Life. He commissioned the story, and I wrote the story, and he loved the story. And then he discovered that the poverty of rural Vermont was not actually part of the mission of Vermont Life. So I got a kill fee, and the story is still in my files.
I hope you'll let me read it sometime.
Well, I'd love to. Thank you.
Candy, it's a pleasure to talk with you. This is a well-deserved accolade. Congratulations, and good luck in the rest of your career, which, you know, is not over.
Well, thanks so much, Jane. One of the things I miss about being a reporter is coming to VPR and talking with you about the natural world and the wonders of it.
Well, you've been an inspiration to me, so I really appreciate it, Candy.
Thank you, Jane.
Candace Page is an editor at 7 Days and was just inducted into the New England Newspaper Hall of Fame.